Good morning. We're going to call the Senate Special Committee on the Arctic to order. We do have a quorum consisting of Madam Co-Chair Senator Giesel and myself, Senator McGuire, and Senator Gary Stevens, Senator John Coghill, and Senator Donnie Olson. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
We just have one item on the agenda. This will be our last formal. Senator Giesel and I have talked, and because we're going into the month of April, this will be our last formal meeting during the session, but we're going to try to get some sessions together in the interim that we've been working on, different topics, but perhaps up at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, as a request from Senator Coghill on some circumpolar Arctic activities up there and other things. But this is the last piece that we have moving through, and we do have Representative Bob Herron here this morning to talk to us about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Senator. Good morning to all the committee members. Do you wish me to begin on H-05, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes. House Concurrent Resolution 5 declaring 2015 to 2017 as years of the Arctic. Most appropriate because April 24th, we assume the chair of the Arctic Council, and it will conclude in April in 2017. Specifically, it resolves that the years of the Arctic, a period during which the state should make every effort to highlight the importance of the Arctic to Alaskans and to the entire nation. The legislature encourages the state and its partners to join with the Institute of the North to promote its Arctic policy, the state's Arctic policy, and broadening awareness of Arctic issues. And then we the resolution encourages the state and its partners to join, to take action during the years of the Arctic to address strategic recommendations in the implementation of the last Arctic Policy Commission. Madam Chair, I'm available for questions.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So we have HCR 5 as amended in the Education Committee before us. And we do have Nils Andreasen from Institute of the North online for questions or testimony as well. But at this time, are there questions for Representative Herron? Okay, seeing none. And I wanted to point out we also have on the agenda at a recommendation from Senator Olson, Art Ivanoff with the Bering Sea Alliance is going to talk to us a little bit. We have to leave the room by 9, so it'll be a short meeting, but I appreciate you bringing that forward to us, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
So, Mr. Andreasen, good morning, and if you could just put yourself on the record and tell us about your support for the CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 5, please.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Co-Chairs, members of the committee. For the record, this is Nils Andreasen, Executive Director of the Institute of the North, calling in to support adoption of HCR 5, declaring the years 2015 through 2017 the years of the Arctic. As you're well aware, this is an especially important time for Alaska and for the nation, as both increasingly recognize the importance of the Arctic, the state's role and responsibilities in this region, as well as the nation's. And during the U.S. chairmanship of the Arctic Council, from April of this year through May of 2017, we have an opportunity as a state, as Alaskans, to really declare our leadership in this space, both from a policy perspective, but also as citizens of the nation and as very active participants in this circumpolar north. So I think this certainly sends the right message, declaring the state's support and the legislature's support for the increasingly active region and attention to the region. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Nils. We appreciate your testimony. Senator Hoffman has joined us as well, so we have our almost full committee this morning. So good morning, Senator Hoffman. We have HCR 5 in front of us, and then we're going to hear from Art Ivanoff. Just a question for you, Representative Herron. I can't remember in discussing this HCR why we didn't put this in, maybe because we're not quite sure. But on the senior Arctic officials, one of the things that you and I really pushed for was having as many of those SAO meetings in Alaska during the next 2 years as possible. And I recall the State Department has committed, I think it's somewhere around 15. Is that something that we would want to mention in the resolution? And then the second part of it is our conversation with the governor about creating an Arctic host committee to support and welcome those senior Arctic officials during the next 2 years, during the years of the Arctic.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are two senior Arctic official meetings every year, one in the spring and one in the fall. It's my understanding that the State Department is going to hold all senior Arctic official meetings in Alaska. The other eight working groups, most of them will be in Alaska, not all of them, is my understanding. As far as the putting in the resolution, those other points, no harm, no foul, because we've done it in the other pieces of legislation. But yet another whereas would be wouldn't hurt.
Excellent. Okay, any discussion, further discussion by the committee? I think it might be helpful just to put a whereas in there that could be conceptual related to, we encourage the State Department to continue working with us to hold as many of the senior Arctic official meetings in Alaska during the next 2 years. That'd be one whereas, so I guess I'll move that conceptually. Is there an objection to that conceptual amendment? Okay, and the second one that I would offer for discussion would be a conceptual whereas clause working with the bill's sponsor and our staff that would say that it's the intent of the state to organize a host committee to welcome senior Arctic officials and other Arctic diplomats that will be coming to Alaska during the next 2 years, during the years of the Arctic. But conceptually, and we could work together, Madam Co-Chair, on how to make that language great, but the idea that this is one other way to kind of prod the governor and us to coalesce around that goal that we all have. And one of the discussion points we had is that we don't really want senior Arctic officials, diplomats, coming to the Arctic of the United States and just sort of making their own trip, making their own welcome. We want a group that's representative of the business community, indigenous populations, et cetera, lawmakers, the executive branch, to kind of help set the agenda where possible. Madam Co-Chair?
That's a great idea, Madam Co-Chair, but my concern is what kind of fiscal note that would add. That would be of interest to me.
That's a good point.
So,
yes, Representative Heron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That there is that consideration. The governor is, and his special assistant, Craig Flynn, are already doing that. They, of course, asked for money to fund activities like that. I would suggest that in the resolution we could say that this committee and the House Arctic Committee could be ex officio members of the committee, but it would be without a fiscal note. We would, you know, for example, an Anchorage legislator could be involved in that, hosting those meetings. A Fairbanks legislator could be involved in being part of the host committee as ex officio. That way, we're very supportive of the governor's efforts, but we're sort of making it less, without a fiscal note. We want the governor to lead, and we could be supporting roles.
So maybe the idea would be a conceptual amendment that suggests that the State Senate Special Committee on the Arctic and the House Special Committee on the Arctic and Economic Development would like to join the governor's efforts as ex officio members. What do you think of that, Madam Chair? it's ongoing efforts, and what we do is work on that language, how he's formed it. I think he's calling it a, is it an SAO host committee? It's a...
I don't know what the latest iteration is.
Okay. Well, why don't we offer it, and if there's no objection, if you trust me, we'll work together. I'll find the name of the committee out today. It's the host committee. But the idea then, without us sort of creating it, because it's already being created, that's a very good point, Madam Co-Chair, that if it looked like we were creating one, that could be duplicating efforts, and two, it would require a fiscal note. So the idea would be that since this is a legislative resolution, our committees would like to be involved in an ex officio capacity to help support the efforts of that welcome, that host committee. Okay. So I'll move that as a conceptual amendment. Is there an objection to that? And I'll circulate it to all of you. Okay. All right. So hearing and seeing none, then that's adopted. So we have the amended House concurrent resolution before us. Are there any other thoughts that members have about things that might be missing that you'd like to see? Any other discussion on the resolution itself or questions for Nils? Okay, is there anyone here in the audience wishing to testify on HCR 5? Anyone online that I've overlooked? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then we'll close public testimony on the CS for HCR number 5 as amended. And I'd love a motion.
Madam Chair, Co-Chair, I move the CS for HCR number 5, version 29LS0562/HA, as amended, with attached zero fiscal note from this committee and individual recommendations.
Okay, is there any objection to that motion? Hearing and seeing none, then the CS for HCR number 5, as amended, with individual recommendations and zero fiscal note, will pass out of this committee. Thank you, Representative Heron. And we'll follow up with you on the record. I'll just say what we were discussing before is the idea that we'll try to bring together this committee and the House committee on the Arctic for some kind of a press availability to work with the governor, hopefully to sign this piece of legislation along with the Senate concurrent resolution on the Arctic Economic Council, and then, of course, our Arctic policy bill. If we could bring them all together as we move into the end of April, where we'll be passing that torch between Canada and the United States, I think it'd be great.
And also your Economic Council.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, Representative Heron. Okay, so without further ado, then we'll have Art. Mr. Ivanov, if you'd come forward and tell us about the Bering Sea Alliance. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Art Ivanov. I am the CEO for the Bering Sea Alliance, LLC. We're basically seven village corporations that are investing together. And the villages are Savakok, which is Gambo, Wales, Nome, Gullivan, Middle Creek, Stebbins, and St. Michael. And basically, this stems from a process that we engaged in 2012, and we held a Bering Straits Village Corporation Economic Summit. We had 70 participants engaged in this process in Nome. We had representatives from Senator Murkowski's office, Bob Walsh, representatives from Shell Oil, Conoco, and Stat, as well as Solist and XP discussing energy issues. We also had the privilege of having, the Cold Climate Housing Research attend and participate and engage in a dialogue with our village corporations and a discussion on retail. And over the course of a year and a half, we had a dialogue with our villages trying to figure out what to focus our attention on, realizing that collectively we might be able to make a difference, a greater dent in this world. And that led us to focus on the Arctic and development that will occur in the Arctic. We endorsed development. We're supporting Shell where we can in different fronts. We've secured a subcontract with Arctic Response Services, Shell Oil, for oil response capacity. Today we have, I want to say, 60 people that have some basic training under their belt. We have a retainer fee associated with these crew members that will be called upon notice, just looking through the roster and identifying people that could be deployed rapidly, rapid response. I really want to thank the AAPC for the work that they had engaged in, and it's really important, I think, for Alaskans and for this nation to really pour the resources into protecting the natural environment while allowing for development. In August of, well, in 2014, Bering Sea Alliance submitted a letter to Senator Olson, and the area of focus was connectivity, depot, and runway systems. There's this report that was released by the Statewide Broadband Task Force in October 2014, and it really identified some of the problems that we have with connectivity in Bush, Alaska. And it gets significantly worse when you go out to St. Lawrence Island, where the remote and removed. We had a discussion with GCI regarding the need for improving connectivity to St. Lawrence Island, just because the face of the world is changing today with globalization and technology. And if we're going to compete, it's because we have the tools in the toolbox. And right now, we're shortchanged. I was in Gambell about a week and a half ago, and I was downloading the local paper, the new Num Nugget, and it took 3 hours to download the newspaper, and it takes maybe 40 seconds in Anchorage. So you could see the disparity, the real difference in connectivity. So we're pressing the issue with connectivity because we want to be a player. We want to sit at the table with policymakers to help make decisions and be a part of the solution.
Yes.
Oral response depots. Again, we've been engaged in a relationship since 2012 with Shell Oil, as well as Arctic Response Services. I had the chance to take a look at the Arctic drilling wells that were released by the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. And basically, the federal agency suggested that the private sector needs to address oil response capacity. They need the tools on the ground. They need trained personnel. And I really think we sort of shortchange ourselves when we suggest that it's just the private sector's issue. I think as Alaskans, we need to say it's our issue, and the state needs to kick in the resources as well as the federal government. The Arctic is a fragile environment. And if we're going to safeguard the Arctic and allow for development, then I think it's going to have to be a P3 concept, a public-private partnership, where where we have federal, state, as well as private dollars poured into processes that ensure the environment will be protected. Runway systems. This is probably one of the biggest issues that we face today. I realize the constraints that we have with the budget, but at the same time, in the letter that was submitted in 2014, we called for improvements in runway systems in Gambell. We think Gambell's in a strategic location to provide support. And November, December, there's a vessel, a Korean vessel, that went down south of Gambell Island or St. Lawrence Island. And we think there's some real potential for our villages to play a role as it relates to first responders, search and rescue, as well as oil response. We know there's resources that are set aside by DOT at maybe $5.5 million or $9.5 million for improving the infrastructure now as it relates to lighting resurfacing. We know the biggest costs out there in Bush, Alaska as it relates to projects are mobilization and demobilization costs. And we've been pressing for a friendly amendment to DOT's plan to improve the infrastructure by expanding the runway by 1,500 feet to allow for jet service. Mm-hmm. We need that capacity in case something does happen. We have the capacity to get a jet out on St. Lawrence Island. I just want to close by suggesting on May 6th and 7th, 2015, the Bering Sea Alliance LLC will host the Arctic Resource Development and Infrastructure Session in Gambell.
Say the dates again.
May 6th and 7th.
Okay.
And basically, we felt it was really important for different partners to come to remove themselves from the comfort zone, if you will, of Girdwood or some other location and go out to the sticks, to the boonies, and experience what rural Alaskans go through, the isolation that we feel. In addition, we've been working with the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the University of California, Santa Barbara, to bring our message to the East Coast. We really believe there's a need to engage in a process in Washington, D.C. with policymakers to secure the appropriations that we need for improving our infrastructure. And we've sort of borrowed the concept of Alaskan grown. This process needs to be driven by Alaskans, and it needs inclusion in processes so we have a broad range of participants that are engaged in a process that could thread the needle to really make it count for our communities. We have a lot of infrastructure needs out there, and I think collectively that's when we make the difference. Again, the theme for our session in Gambo is empowerment through collaboration. Madam Chair, that concludes my presentation.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Ivanoff. Fantastic. I will look forward to receiving an invite that I'll forward on to the other members. Many of us have been out to Gambo, and I agree that just being there itself and seeing where the infrastructure would go and how it would improve Arctic communication and lives is important. I guess one other question I had was on the UAF working group. Have you made any trips to D.C. yet, or are you in the early stages where you're planning kind of what you're going to do over the next couple years?
Sure. Actually, we've been engaged in several conference calls with the universities. We've had an exchange of communications, and we're planning a session tomorrow to really to sort of work the system and try to figure out who the players are. Right now, we just have a small group of people, and we felt it was really important just to have a handful of people that could help shape and mold it, but realize that when it came down to it, it was inclusion, and that's really what we're stressing for. So we're jazzed about the opportunity to work with the University of Alaska Fairbanks and University of Cali, and we think, again, there's a need for this type of approach. I think there's what we see today in Alaska as it relates to groups going out to Washington, D.C. is a fragmented group. Everybody's got their own little story to tell, but I think collectively that's when you could, I think, do the most damage. I think that's when you could really carry the message through. And that was the intent behind the process, is collectively there's a need to bring our message as a group outside, and to do that annually, to really to secure the resources that we need.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. Thank you for that, Mr. Ivanoff. There was a group of us went back earlier this year, and it's just eye-opening how little senators know from other states about what our challenges are and what Arctic policy means. So I think it's fantastic to have people from the region make those visits and make those contacts. So good to hear. Anything from committee members? Senator Olson?
Mr. Ivanoff, I guess one of the questions I have is the Bering Sea Alliance is made up of communities that are out in this local area. Are there chances that other communities are going to be joining the alliance? Because it's going to be obviously a concerted effort, and the communities that we see here are all south of the Bering Straits. What are the plans for the future for communities to be either aligned or be a part of the BSA, say, north of the Straits, Shishprep, Diomede itself in those areas?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, right now we've got an open door policy to include other village corporations, but at some point in time I think the board is going to decide whether to close the door or not. But we've tried, and we stress inclusion. We had the privilege of going out to a lot of the villages, Shishmaref, Brevik Mission, Savunga, just trying to figure out a way to thread again and bring those villages into the process, but we haven't had any takers. So it's just the seven currently, and again, the door's open, and it's really up to my board of directors as to how they'd like to proceed.
I see. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Fantastic. One thing I would just add to this packet for us is a map. The thing that's always impressed me is when I see where you all are located, and then the vessel traffic that comes through, that visual right away is so impressive to people. And I would just recommend anytime you go to Washington, D.C., that's the first thing you hand them so that they can get a picture where you're located, where your communities are located, and then the kind of traffic that's coming through now.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the, we'll sharpen up the tools in the toolbox just to get the message across and use different sources to really get the point across. But I also want to stress the need for appropriations because, you know, we could talk, we could have all these really incredible reports, but without the appropriations then we fall short. And the opposite of good is good intentions. And it's really important to pull those resources into building the infrastructure and getting our villages connected to the world. Globalization and technology are changing it. We want, you know, our villages would like to be a part of that process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything further here from members?
I just want to emphasize the invitation that is going to be coming out on May 6th and 7th for Dr. Gamble.
That would be a wonderful
So you're only 30 miles from Russia. Make sure you have your passport in case something happens.
There you go. Well, are you offering to host us, Senator Olson?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Art Ivanoff and I will be glad to go and host.
The neat thing about Gamble, too, you stay in houses. You get the chance to stay with actual families that are living there. So I think it's a really almost like an exchange, a neat opportunity. Yes, Mr. Ivanoff.
If I can, I just want to mention Svakok owns a lodge. It's the Svakok Lodge, and they've got room to accommodate up to 30 people, but at the same time we've had other participants staying with some family members or friends. We had a session in August of 2014, and we had Commissioner of Commerce Bender participate, and he was just struck by the hospitality. And it's the irony is it's one of those villages that have a real high rate of unemployment and underemployment, but at the same time, the hospitality was great, and he harped on that repeatedly, just the openness and the friendliness of the village people. So, great.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Ivanoff, and thank you for your leadership in this area, too. It's really appreciated. Okay, is there anything further to come before the committee, Madam Co-Chair? Okay, with that, we're adjourned.